Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to a really cool podcast because today we are talking about the most American cars and some pickup trucks thrown in there as well. And usually it's myself and my dad, but he's out of town, so I got Andre.
Well, thank you. Can I crash this podcast as well?
You absolutely can. So Andre's from the TFL Talking Trucks podcast, but he's joining me today. We're also going to talk about some really cool news, some of the cars, and maybe some of the SUVs we've been driving, and a little bit of everything else in between.
Yes. So is this going to be a top 10 or a top 20, top 30?
It's going to be a top 20, Andre.
Ooh.
And we have these new mics.
Yes.
And apparently we have to stay really close to them. And for some reason, it feels like we need to talk in a low voice. So we have to tell the story before we start. So there's one of our good friends in the industry was the chief engineer
of Ram Heavy Duty Trucks.
Yes. What was his name?
Rod Romaine.
So Rod Romaine had the lowest voice I've ever heard.
So we really wanted Rod to be on one of our podcasts recently, and apparently he retired.
He retired.
And I think he maybe transitioned to other jobs or at least another project. So unfortunately, Rod Romaine is not here.
Now, the cool thing about Rod Romaine is he had, it was low, but it was also a powerful voice.
Yes.
Like, he was the perfect chief engineer for a full-size HD truck.
Commanding voice.
Commanding.
Yes.
Like, if I was in a business meeting with Rod about Cummins engines or something, everybody would stop and listen to me. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But he's retired, huh?
Well, at least from Ram and Stellantis land.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, Rod, if you are listening to this, please come back on our show sometime soon.
So, let's talk about some of the news of the week.
Okay.
Have you been following the news of the week?
I'm mostly focused on pickup trucks.
Well, we've got some bad news for the Toyota BZ4X.
That was not on my list of news.
You know, what do you think is one of the worst things that could probably happen to a car? You're driving along and something fails.
A wheel could come off.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
That's what's happening. Apparently.
Well, wasn't that also, that's a Toyota BZ4X.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, that was a recall. It ended up being a recall, right?
Yep, so it affects about 260 cars in the U.S. according to the recall notice in June. And now there's a stop sale and even a buyback option on the Toyota BZ4X.
So that's the latest news?
It's the latest news. Ugh. Hub bolts can loosen and the wheels can fall off.
That's not a good metaphor or actually real thing that can happen.
Yeah, the wheels are falling off the BZ4X here.
Okay, that's unfortunate. More news?
Not a good situation. This is not newsy enough for you? Wheels falling off of cars?
Well, but we discussed it like a couple weeks ago.
Well, they also said don't drive. They're like, do not
completely.
Drive. Well, yeah. I
mean, okay.
They don't want your wheel falling off. I know. I have driven one.
Yes.
And the wheel didn't fall off.
Okay. So. But yeah, you did some reviews on the BZ4X.
Yeah, it's a good little car.
Yeah.
So another one here. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
FCA U.S. placed on probation for 3 years, ordered to pay $300 million penalty in Jeep, Ram, and EcoDiesel fraud case. Stellantis' U.S. arm still faces ramifications for its actions marketing early EcoDiesel engines. Have you been following this guy?
Yes.
What's the story?
Well, how deep do you want to go on this one? Because the story goes back several years. It had to do with the EcoDiesel 3-liter V6 engine that was inside the Ram 1500 trucks, also the Jeep Grand Cherokees, right? And EPA determined that Stellantis, at that time FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobile, was not, how should I put it? The emissions were not meeting the necessary regulations while the vehicles were moving.
Okay.
So there was a big deal, and now they're finally paying huge sums.
This sounds sort of somewhat in line with the Dieselgate scandal of Volkswagen, but maybe not to the same extent, of course.
But not the same scale or the same severity, I would say.
Okay, so like a little mini.
Mini gate.
All right, so that's going on. We've got some other news. The driver was caught and arrested driving a C8 Corvette at 161 miles an hour on a New Hampshire interstate. Wow.
Wow.
That is a... Interstate 93.
So first of all, well, I come from the land of trucks, and trucks are usually limited, electronically limited top speeds of about 105, 106. Like the TRX is limited to 118 miles per hour. So those are already illegal speeds on public roads. But this guy was going 161?
Yeah, so I've got the full story here. On TFLcar.com, 30-year-old Alejandro Zapata Rebello, per the police statement due to its social media outlets, was allegedly clocked on radar at 161 miles an hour, or as the NASCAR folks say, mile an hour, in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. Due to the high rate of speed, Trooper Slaney did not pursue the orange Corvette as it flew past. However, Slaney did issue a bolo.
What is that?
Be on the lookout.
Oh.
Bolo.
But this guy was apprehended later?
Yeah. Minutes after the orange sports car passed, Trooper F dispatched started to receive reports of multiple sports cars, including the orange car driving erratically at high rates of speed, nearly causing crashes. Nearby police in Woodstock, New Hampshire, clocked the driver going 130 and subsequently pulled him over when he became stuck at an exit. Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, stuck at an exit.
Can't outrun a radio. You know, that's where people really mess up. 160 in a set. That's got to be a...
That must have been a street race gone wrong, really. So, I mean, really bad.
The driver was arrested and charged with 2 counts of reckless driving and 1 count of disobeying an officer. That feels like he got off pretty light, doesn't it?
Well, there must be taking away his license, or at least, or for some time. I mean, this is a serious offense.
So at 160 miles an hour, he probably crossed that entire state of New Hampshire in what? 30 seconds?
30 seconds?
A minute?
He probably was in another state by then. Yeah.
So that was an interesting little piece of news. We've got some more. Ford actually has had a pretty good sales month, haven't they?
Yeah. So we recently published several stories. You can find actually everything automotive on alltfl.com. On the truck site, we published several stories. In fact, our producer, Zach, have been hard at work. So thank you, Zach. Ford F-Series trucks have recovered recent slumps in sales, and they appear to be delivering more and more trucks, which is good news. Also, Toyota had a really good month, dude. The Tundra had a good month. The Tacoma was recovering because Tacoma is still the ultimate leader in pickup truck sales in the United States, but they had a slump in the last few months, and now they're kind of back to where they were.
They're back, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing which I think is very interesting is that not everybody's back.
Some people are not back.
No, a lot of people are down.
Who? For example, do you have any examples?
Let me click on the link to TFL Car.
So I can tell you, in the world of trucks, not every manufacturer reports sales every month.
That's true. Sometimes they're quarterly. But Honda, Hyundai, Kia, Lexus, Mazda, Subaru, Toyota, and Volvo all reported lower sales in July 22 versus the same period last year.
Ooh.
There were a few gains, including Ford, up 35.5% month over month, Lincoln, up 64.5% month over month, and Genesis, up 0.4%.
So Ford and Lincoln really did well.
Yeah.
But we don't know what Stellantis did or what GM did because they didn't report sales.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till October.
Yeah.
But that's it's interesting to me that Hyundai, Honda, Kia, Lexus, and Mazda were all down versus the same period last year. But Ford is up so much. Very interesting. All right. And then lastly, the Nissan Maxima is dead.
What?
Mm-hmm.
The four-door sports car?
That's what they wanted you to think, Andre. It's been around since 1980. You were two, Andre.
I was, oh my God, why did you tell me this? I didn't know this.
You were two.
I'm really sad now.
Absolutely, yeah. It's dead. It's
discontinued?
It will meet its end next year. Yeah. It's
one so of the, 2023 will be no more?
It's one of the few large mainstream sedans still running, but that will change in 2023. It's in its eighth generation. Yep.
Well, that's sad news.
That's sad. Since the early 80s, Nissan has sold more than 3.5 million Maximas. Honestly, is it that sad? They kind of let it languish a little bit.
But it was always kind of a fun sedan, and it maintained that fun character, I think, throughout every generation.
But then they gave it the CVT, and the funness just started to kind of drizzle away, you know? It's like a bad ex. It just keeps coming back for more.
There you have it.
And then one last little piece of news, and this is very important, so pay attention. Princess Diana's 1985 Ford Escort RS Turbo is up for auction.
No way.
Did you know the princess used to own a really sporty Ford?
I had no idea.
Now, when you think of, like, princesses, what do you think of, like, Bentleys? and Rolls Royces.
Range Rovers.
Yes. But how about a tiny little hatchback with a fast engine from the 80s?
Do we know how much, or is it still going to go to auction?
That's a great question. So in June 2021, her first and relatively basic spec Escort sold for 52,000 pounds. That's about 64 grand US if you go to Burger Units. But this is a very special car. It's very, very kind of high spec, you know. So Silverstone Auction, we'll see what it'll go for. Would you pay a lot of money for an ex-princess's car?
Well, maybe it's not my bag.
Maybe it's not your bag,
Andre. I mean, I love hot hatches, don't get me wrong, but
I don't. It's a no-go, huh?
No, not on this one.
Not paying big money?
No, not on this one. Maybe if she had like a first-generation Rabbit GTI.
There you go.
Then I would have been kind of in it.
Does the Princess connection make you more interested in the vehicle?
A little.
Yeah?
I have respect for
her. Would you pay more to own a princess's car?
Yes,
why?
For sure.
Because she's dead and she hasn't driven it?
No, she's a celebrity. She's a big, huge celebrity. So.
What celebrity would you pay the most money to own their car?
Drake? No.
Really? Drake? That's interesting.
No, let me think. Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
Thor.
Who's that guy that you'd pay extra money to? Like if Chris Hemsworth had a Honda Pilot. You're paying big money for Hemsworth's Honda Pilot, is what you're telling me.
I hope he doesn't have a Pilot.
What do you think Chris Hemsworth drives?
Well, he's from Australia, right? So he probably drives a Holden GTS RS/X.
Just keep adding syllables. All right. Chris Hemsworth has, are you ready? According to 21motoring.com,
yes.
A Cadillac SRX.
Ooh.
This might be an old list. A Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, so he's a caddy man.
A Acura MDX. A Toyota Land Cruiser. A Audi R8. Audi Q7. A Mercedes C63. A Land Rover Defender. One other Mercedes. And a Volkswagen Amarok.
I will have to, if he's selling any of those vehicles, Chris, let me know. But I'll pick up his Land Cruiser, probably.
Really? Now these are. I got pictures of him coming out of these things. Actually, look, check that out. Look, he's got a little mustache up there. He's giving a thumbs up. He's got his hat on.
Okay.
The one that is interesting to me is his Amarok. Is that in Australia? That's probably not here, right?
Yeah, it's probably not here.
Yeah, I'm going with it.
Anyway.
Okay.
Who's your favorite celebrity car?
Who was that guy that owned all those Legends? Remember, there's that famous celebrity. Is it Tupac or is he dead?
No. Are you talking about Fast and Furious?
No, Acura Legends.
Not Paul
Walker.
Is
it Ludacris? I think it might be Ludacris. Yes.
Oh, Ludacris. Yes.
Ludacris has a real nice Legend, which Acura, I think, restored.
Yes. That must be priceless.
Tupac is dead, right?
Tupac is dead.
What about Elvis's pink Cadillac?
No.
No? Not interested in Elvis's pink Cadillac?
No.
What others? I don't follow celebrities very much. I heard What's-Her-Name has a really big collection. The Kardashian, the young one, Kylie?
I'm not interested in the Kardashian collection. I am interested in trucks and SUVs.
Oh, yes. Seinfeld has a really big Porsche collection.
Yeah, he's a complete Porsche lunatic.
Yeah.
But his tastes are so high out of my reach that it's even inconceivable for me to even approach one of his Porsches.
So I'm looking at Kylie's collection. She has a $3 million Chiron. It's a Bugatti.
Yes.
She's got a pink Rolls Royce. Actually, it's a black with a pink interior. Oh, she's got some really questionable vehicles here, Andre.
But here's the thing. Does she have a Buhanka?
Does she have a bread van?
A bread van from Soviet Union? No.
Do you have an update on the Buhanka, by the way? Everybody was wondering last time.
No, unfortunately, I don't. So my Buhanka is still around. It's in the garage, and I'm going through the registration process still. I kind of put it on the back burner because of the war that was started in that part of the world between Ukraine and Russia, and I was really upset by that. So I put it on the back burner, and it's just stored away.
It's stored away. Yes. So The other reason it's stored away is because it won't pass emissions.
Yes, that's one of it.
Now, Andrei imported this thing from Russia.
Yes.
And what I think is interesting is they won't accept your VIN number or your VIN.
No, they won't. Because on the title, it has 17 digits, which is normal for a VIN. But on the chassis of the my Brad van, my Buhanka four-wheel drive van, it omits the first two characters, and they would not accept, even though the numbers are the same, they wouldn't accept it.
Are they all numbers, or is there like a backwards R and like an upside down U and like a sideways K thrown in there? Like, how are they listed?
No, it's readable. It's readable in English, but they still wouldn't accept it.
So what are you going to do?
I have to assign it a Colorado VIN. So I have to go to state police office, state police to assign a new number, inspect it, and then register it.
Oh, what a mess.
So.
And your Volga's back too.
Yeah, I also own a GUS 21 Volga sedan.
Yep.
Yes, it's also 65.
Yep.
The Brad van is 1992. The Volga car is in 1965.
Yep.
And I've also stored it away. It's also hidden.
Well, it's not that hidden, to be honest with you.
Actually, it's on a street corner.
Yeah, if I look out the window in the right direction, I'll probably see it. So Andre bought this thing as a non-runner. And then Toby, our wonderful German mechanic, got this baby running good. And then we picked it up from Toby's shop, and you brought it to a brake place.
And no, I brought it to a gas station.
Well, you, Andre didn't try to bring it to a gas station. Andre broke down at a gas station.
Yes, I did.
So we picked it up from the shop, and I'm like, all right, Andre, I'll see you on Monday. And then he zoomed it along, and then like 5 minutes later.
And I couldn't restart it.
I was on the toilet, actually, and I get a phone call. I'm like, ooh, this is not going to be good. So I get a phone call, and Andre's like,
can you help me?
It's dead at the gas station. And there was no fuel coming out of it. I talked to Toby about it yesterday.
Yeah.
And apparently he thinks that your fuel pump seized. So he said that when we were driving it was really hot that day. And he thought maybe it got too hot and seized.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we towed it back to his place and let it sit.
It was cool.
It cooled down and like started spinning again. So he gave you a new fuel pump apparently.
Yeah. Well, he didn't give me one.
You had to pay a lot of money.
I paid dearly for a fuel pump. No, but he also tuned my carburetor. He tuned my distributor. But can we move on to our list?
Sure. So today's list is the American-made index from Cars.com. Which American cars are the most American?
So that means they're produced in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
but also parts, the percentage of parts come from the U.S. as well, correct?
Very interesting, right? I do believe that that is what they are taking into account.
Is that that's the American certification?
Yeah, so it's the most American car. So there's certain vehicles, right, where they're not American brands. However, they're made in the U.S.
Yes.
So
yes.
A final assembly.
Is that why we're looking at the Pilot for the last 20 minutes?
That's right. Baby's on the list, actually.
Okay.
So here's some of the things they have to talk about. Arguably, the most important factor for index qualification is final assembly at one of 48 U.S. plants run by 16 major auto groups. But they also look at percentage of U.S. and Canadian parts, countries of origin for all available engines, country of origin for all available transmissions, U.S. manufacturing workforce. So it's like a lot of work that they put into this.
Okay.
So do you want to...
But that's important for a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Where a vehicle is made and where the parts are produced... that means it employs those people,
mm-hmm.
and it's very important for a lot of people.
Absolutely right, Andre. Yeah. And yeah, it's cool having an American-made car. So number 20 on the list is the Ford Expedition and Expedition Max.
Aren't they built in Kentucky?
Where in Kentucky?
Louisville.
Bam, Andre, coming in hot with the stats today.
Okay.
Exactly right. So this is the giant Ford SUV.
Yes.
Built in Louisville.
Yes.
Where was the Excursion built? I should look that up.
Well, the Excursion was built, I don't know specifically, but I think where the Super Duties are built.
Which
would have been...
Louisville.
Also?
Yeah, Kentucky. Kentucky. Oh. Have you been to Louisville?
Not to the plant itself, but I remember I went to a Lincoln Navigator launch. That was the previous generation vehicle Navigator. And we were in Louisville, Kentucky with Roman, and we both got sluggers, the Louisville Slugger bats.
Nice. Yes. Okay. So number 19 on the list is the Dodge Durango.
Ooh, one of my favorites, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's a vehicle that's been around. It's been solid. It had a Hellcat version.
It's been
SRT.
Would you argue to say that it's been around for too long?
Yes, it has been, but if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Because it's like older
than the Book
of Mormon. Yes. Okay, here's
where is it built? Do you have the data on all of this?
Yeah, built in Detroit.
Oh.
Yeah, built in Michigan. So I just had a fantastic trip recently, and I was I had the opportunity to talk to some General Motors folks, and I think I have discovered the oldest vehicle in continuous production in one real generation.
Is it the Lada Niva?
It is. Well, okay. Good point. That might be older. That you can buy today in the U.S.
Okay. So Lada, you could never buy in the U.S.
So like I was given the Durango, heck. But that thing's probably only been around since, what, 2013?
Well, in the latest generation, yes. But it's been around before that as a different type of vehicle.
But it's got to be in the same generation. So obviously the G-Wagon was really, really, really old. But that was
until they redesigned it,
and it was so heavily updated where yes. It didn't share anything. Now the Nissan Frontier
was from 2007 to 2021, so that was
no, what? It wasn't. Was it 07? Wasn't it older than that?
04 maybe.
I think it was 04.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that was a lot of years.
It was a lot of years. So that was a lot of years.
But something was older.
The Durango is 2010 to present. Yes, the third gen Durango. What do you think is older? I never think about this vehicle. Although you want to review one.
I've done a review one.
No, you want to review one, and they won't give it to us.
I'm thinking.
It's available in a diesel engine.
I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the Grand Cherokee. I mean, they redesigned the Grand Cherokee.
No, you got to think a little bit more square.
It's not. Well, it's not a Land Cruiser. The Land Cruiser went away.
No, it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
The Chevrolet Express Van.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked for it many, many times. General Motors would not let me review one.
They won't give it to us.
No.
Now, the Express Van, this generation was technically debuted in like 1995, 1996. And it was updated in 2003, but not super heavily so. So technically, it's been around for...
But what about the GMC Savannah van that also is related?
Yeah, we can lump that in. I never think about this van, but you can still buy it today.
Yeah, and remember, they used to have Duramax diesel versions. They still do, right?
I think you can still get the baby Duramax.
The baby Duramax. They used to have the big Duramax. Then they also had all-wheel drive versions of these vans. I think they discontinued the all-wheel drive version.
Do you know this is built at the same plant as the Chevy Colorado?
I had no idea.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
So you've got a brand new, newest generation Colorado zooming down the line.
With an ancient...
And behind it is a 26-year-old bread van. Just stocking it from behind.
There you have it.
Amazing, folks. Right? I think about this vehicle less than any other vehicle. Yeah, you can. 2.8 baby Duramax. We should get that thing to test.
Oh, my God. I've asked for it. Okay.
All right.
All right, let's move on.
All right, so number 18... Coming in at 18,
yep.
The Wayne, Michigan-produced Ford Bronco.
Wait, what?
Yep. The number 18th most American car.
But okay.
What?
So, sorry.
Are you still on vans?
I thought you were talking about like the previous generation Broncos for some reason.
No.
The current
Bronco.
The current Bronco. So, but it's also where the Ranger is built.
Yeah, and that's number 17, is the Ford Ranger.
Oh, hey, it's a truck.
In Wayne, Michigan.
Okay, so I'm really excited because the Bronco is currently, its sales are going through the roof still. I mean, they have too much demand, not enough supply, and they've been trying to satisfy that. So I'm excited that it's on this list.
Yeah, it's cool. Now, number 16 is where things get interesting because we know you're talking about like Merck and Maid, think of like the big three, but there's other manufacturers that are extremely high in.
I'm guessing Toyota or Honda?
Close, yeah. Extremely high in not only parts content, but where it's built. And this is going to be the Acura TLX.
Ah.
That's built in Ohio and it's built in Marysville. And the TLX is a great car, recently redone, and they did a great job with it. Really nice thing to drive, pretty sporty. So yeah, actually the next three on the list are all Acura. So number 16 is a TLX, number 15 is the RDX, and number 14 is the MDX. And those are all built in various Ohio cities.
And we recently reviewed an MDX, right?
The Type S.
Yeah.
Did you drive that thing?
No.
It's good?
I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's really sporty, very nice looking.
It was good, yeah. It was silver, which is not my favorite color. It was silver on dark blue. What do you think of dark blue interiors?
It's better than light blue interiors.
No, than a light blue interior.
Well, it's okay.
The last person to actively buy a light blue interior was Barry Manilow.
I think so.
Are we in agreement there?
Yes. But I like color in my interior. I really hate interiors that are only monochromatic and dark. Mm-hmm. So if it has a little bit of color, I think that's positive.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Why is it 1,000 degrees in our podcast room?
Because it's a sweat box.
Well, really. If we turn on the fan, it'll make noise.
Okay.
I wonder how our new mics are working. Have we spent all this time talking and it turns out we can't use the audio because the mics are bad?
Probably.
That's going to be
a bummer. But these are very high-end microphones.
Yeah. So number 13 and number 12 on the list, Andre, more trucks. Man, the trucks are coming in hot here.
Okay.
Built-in Wentzville MO.
Chevy Colorado.
And the Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Really? They're on the list too?
They're number 13 and 12.
The current generation?
Yes.
And actually, the all-new generation is just around the corner. We just did a story about the Chevy Colorado. On August 11th, you have a story coming up about the GMC Canyon.
Can we say that?
Yes, because they announced date. Remember, they teased it a couple days ago. They said August 11th is going to be the day the all-new 2023 Canyon is unveiled.
Right. So be sure to stay tuned till this Thursday. Yes.
Yeah, just a few days from now.
Go with it. Yes.
Just a few days from now.
Yep. And we'll get all the deets on the new GMC Canyon. Number 11 on the list, built in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Is it a car that can go 161 miles per hour?
In a 70 zone, baby. Yep. It's the Chevrolet Corvette.
Sweet. I'm really happy it's on the list.
It's actually down pretty significantly, though, compared to last year. So it's number 11 this year. And in 2021, it was number 5.
Huh. I wonder why. But you know what? The new Z06. Remember when that came out? The C8 Z06. I know it's untouchable. First of all, you know, there's going to be very few of them initially. Then they're going to be marked up by dealers. And then you have to be somebody special to actually order one and buy one, and you have to have a lot of money. But it's one of the dream cars I have.
Are they out yet? No, they just opened the order banks.
Yeah, so I don't think they're actually on the road yet.
Mm.
But it's one of my dream cars. Eventually, I would hope to own one that's used.
We don't talk to you a lot about cars. What are some of your dream cars?
Well, I have a couple of GM on the GM list. I have a couple. So
you have different lists for different manufacturers.
No. So here's my car list.
Okay.
The Z06 Corvette is definitely on there.
The new one.
Yeah, the new one. Especially the new one because it's mid-engine. And the Z06, I think the styling, they knocked it out of the ballpark. It's wider. It's an amazing engine. Anyway, also the car that's no longer made, the Pontiac G8. Big sedan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the big V8 powered sedan, rear-wheel drive, squared off, macho.
Not the
that.
SS, not the Chevrolet
no.
SS?
I don't like the rounded SS.
So you can't still buy that anymore because didn't they kill Holden in Australia?
Yes.
So that car was a rebranded Holden.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, but then they killed the Holden brand altogether.
And I think it's all gone. So the G8, specifically the G8, is on my list. Also, the Audi R8. I'm a sucker for mid-engine cars.
You're like Hemsworth.
Do I look like him, too?
You sure do, Andre.
Thanks.
To our audience listening, if you've never seen Andre, picture him, Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Exactly like that.
Pretty much. And my biceps are the same.
The exact look.
So I think the R8, at least the older V10 options, the V10 R8s, those are cool. So that's kind of my list.
That's it. Wow.
And also the Volga.
And the Volga's on that list. No Volkswagens?
Not anymore. I used to be a VW guy. I had a Golf. I had a GLI, Jetta. I had Audi, a couple of Audis, actually. But I'm not lusting after a VW. You know what else? You know, the one car, it's not a car, it's a minivan. It's a minibus.
What?
I want the Buzz.
Oh, the Buzz.
I want the VW electric Buzz.
The ID Buzz. Why?
ID Buzz. It's just, so first of all, it's a little bit retro, and it's got new tech. It's electric. I think the styling, they knocked out of the ballpark, and I'm tired of waiting for it. I'm really, really tired of waiting.
Really? The Buzz.
It's not on sale yet. They introduced the concept of it like, I don't know, a decade ago?
Not on sale.
So not on sale.
Okay, that's interesting. No, I think while I got you here, Well, actually, let's do a couple more and then I'll ask you another question.
Yeah, let's keep going because we can talk forever.
So number 11 is the car on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. It is the Honda Pilot, manufactured in Lincoln, Alabama. And actually number 9 is the Honda Odyssey. And number 8 is the Honda Ridgeline, all manufactured in Lincoln, Alabama.
Who would have thunk they're in the top 10?
Yeah, pretty cool.
So the next generation Honda Pilot, we've seen prototypes. So the new one should be coming out soon, but we haven't seen it yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're going to redesign the Ridgeline again. You know, when the new Pilot comes out, maybe after that, maybe the new Ridgeline will come out as well. Mm. That could be interesting.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you like the triplets here?
I like the Pilot. The Ridgeline is okay. I mean, it's a great vehicle to drive. It's just the towing rating is not quite there for me. 5,000 pounds on the Ridgeline maximum towing.
Mm.
I prefer to tow a little bit more. Well, I have a 6,000 pound boat trailer with a boat that I tow. So because of that, the Ridgeline is not really high on my list, but the Pilot I like. Just the people mover. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's a good vehicle. You know, Nathan's looking for a Ridgeline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a used one?
He sure is.
Okay.
I don't know if he might be looking new, actually.
We'll have to bring Nathan in. Yeah, another time.
Yes, for sure. All right, number 7 on the list is the Jeep Cherokee.
Oh.
So that's actually manufactured in Belvidere, Illinois.
Isn't there where your dad used to work? Or near where your dad used to be a reporter? At least he did a story in Belvidere.
So he used to be a TV anchor in Rockford, Wisconsin. Rockford, is it in Illinois?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm going crazy. I'm so sorry. Rockford, Illinois.
We're recording this late in the day.
No, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do a little research and speak at the same time because something interesting about that plant.
Okay.
So he actually almost died at that plant.
What?
Because at the time he had a Suzuki Samurai.
Yes.
And he was fresh out of college, and he was driving. He may have actually been in college. This may have been like an intern project. And he went to go drive to do a story at the Belvidere plant, and he showed up in the Samurai when everyone was on strike. And showing up at the heart of America
in a Suzuki,
they had like 8 guys came over and started like rocking the car back and forth and almost flipped it over, and it was not a good experience. I want to say that they built what did they build there?
Wasn't it? Wasn't there some Chryslers built there or something?
Yeah.
Well, that's
the new Chrysler C platform in the 60s. He's not that old.
No.
What was it? Man, I swear there was a... So they currently assemble the...
The Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Yeah. So the Cherokee, what do you think about the Cherokee? I think it needs a redesign soon because, I mean, it came out several years ago. It had controversial styling. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. But now it kind of... It had a refresh. People are now really, really kind of into it. I think it's been a good seller. But I think it's time to redesign the Cherokee once again.
I think it needs it. Yeah. Well, so what they did is when they launched it, it was kind of a disaster. They had this really unique style, do you remember? And then there was this horrible picture that was leaked of it.
Like a dark model sitting in a corner of a plant.
And that was in the corner of a plant. It was in between the ferns in the factory. And
wasn't a very sexy image of it.
Not a good sexy image of it. And it leaked before the reveal, and people got all up in arms. They were really upset about it. It didn't really have a chance to kind of hit the market under its own fruition without a pre-mindset of what it would look like.
But it became successful later on.
It did.
And I think it was controversial because what I think Jeep was doing, because they usually had the really upright grills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really giant, nice, Jeep traditional grills, and they kind of squished it.
You know, I don't think it looks that controversial anymore, though. So what they did is they did that pioneered by the Pontiac Aztec, where they separated the headlights and the turn signals, mm-hmm. and they left that space in between.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, that's weird when the Aztec launched. And it was, wow, that's a little weird when the Cherokee launched. But now, like, pretty much every Hyundai SUV has some form of, like, that separated headlight turn signal module, right?
Especially, like, new GM crossovers in vehicles.
Very common,
Have that orientation.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, the... almost every Hyundai that's coming out now. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So I think actually Mark Allen was a little ahead of the
of the time.
He was a designer of Jeep, a little ahead of out of his curve. Because when they redesigned the Cherokee, they kind of made it more swoopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Speaking of cars that we're driving, actually, we just had the Toyota RAV4 TRD off-road here.
Yes.
And I bring that up because it kind of competed with the Cherokee. And I took it off-roading on our Tumbleweed off-road course. And it was not super happy.
And you could see that video, correct?
Over at TFL Off-Road.
TFL Off-Road and alltfl.com.
Yeah, it's up there. It it doesn't have enough oomph.
So you does it mean it was preventing you? Was it holding you back?
Well, what would happen is, so you pointed up a really steep hill. And if all four wheels have traction, it'll kind of like tootle up the hill. Like you have to have your foot in the throttle, but it'll kind of do.
Was this a hybrid?
Or no.
Was this...
No, it's only gas.
Okay.
203 horsepower, four cylinder. But then if there's a hole in the hill and a wheel dips into the hole, then you need the torque vectoring to kind of come into play.
Yes.
And it's got a good torque vectoring system, but it doesn't have enough available low-end torque to maximize the torque vectoring. So what you end up with is you get stuck in these holes where one wheel is like, you know, losing traction. And it's like trying so hard to figure out what to do. And the engine is just, I mean, it sounds like a cow. It's
screaming?
Just moo.
Oh, like
moo.
Like Rod Romaine's cows.
Rod Romaine.
Okay.
Moo. And it just doesn't, it can't, you know, it can't quite make it up the hill. So that's the biggest issue with it. And it's, you know, it's not quite there in ground clearance either. So I really wish that Toyota would, you know, because the, Tacoma TRD off-road, amazing.
Yes.
You know, the 400 TRD off-road, amazing off-road. They need to add a little bit more of that DNA in the little RAV4.
Well, I think they're trying. I agree with you. I think they should, you know, the TRD off-road name comes with a lot of, you know, prestige and people expect certain things from it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're really going to apply it to the RAV4, at least from our testing, you know, it should do better.
It should do better.
I would say, okay.
Yeah. At least I will say, crawled underneath there. It's got a pretty bad approach angle, like 19 degrees, versus a Cherokee Trailhawk, which is like 29.
Yeah.
But it's got actual metal cladding underneath.
Okay, well, that's good.
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Is it on our list, though?
No, it is not on the list. Let's keep going with the list. So,
so we went through Cherokee.
Number six is going to have people in a tizzy.
What?
It is the Tesla Model S. Manufactured in Fremont, California. Number five, the Tesla Model X.
Yeah, what? Okay, six and five.
Six and five. People, I always think this is interesting. People forget that Tesla is an American company. Not only are they an American company, but they are at the top of the American-made index.
Yes, which is great for them and great for us.
Yes.
I think because, for you know, American components, American labor, all of those great things.
Yep, number four is the Honda Passport, manufactured in Lincoln, Alabama. It's actually up from number nine compared to last year.
Huh.
Number three is the Lincoln Corsair.
I would not have thought that.
Never thought that.
Manufactured. Do you know, does it say where it's built?
Louisville.
Oh, we talked about Louisville.
Louisville.
Okay.
Yeah. Number two is the Tesla Model 3.
Okay.
And number one is the Tesla Model Y, which is made in Fremont, California, or now Austin, Texas.
Yes, that plant is coming online, or it is online.
So some people are going to be really thrown into a tizzy that two of the top three vehicles are Teslas. People really don't like Teslas sometimes.
So, no, wait, what's the top five? Are four vehicles in the top five Teslas?
Three. So number five is a Tesla, number four is a Honda, number three is a Lincoln, two and one are Teslas.
Okay. So that's a high percentage of Teslas there.
Very high percentage.
Yeah.
Now, kind of an interesting point is we are missing a lot of actually every full-size truck on the top 20.
Yeah. So where's the F-150? Where's the Chevy Silverado? Where is the Ram?
Well, let's
1500?
Find out. So F-150 is number 21.
Okay.
It's manufactured in... Dearborn.
Uh-huh.
And is this right? Claycomo?
Yes. Yeah, Claycomo.
Are those two different manufacturing facilities?
Yeah.
They have two different plants for the F-50?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, it's an interesting way they split them up, right? The Raptors are only built in Dearborn.
Okay.
And then some of the commercial vehicles, F-150s, are also built in a separate facility in Claycomo. Yeah.
Is that...
I think it's because they used to sell like 600,000 of them a year.
Right.
And they had to build them. So
next door? Is like Claycomo or is it
no,
like...
No, it's in Kansas.
Oh, it's in a different state.
It's in Missouri.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
So 21 is the F-150. 23 is the Tundra.
Okay, well, it's built in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Down from number 10, though, compared to last year.
Ooh.
So some other notable here. Let's
what about
going.
Ram? Do you see any Ram or Chevys?
I'm looking. Cadillac Escalade is 38. That is in Arlington.
Okay.
Santa Cruz is number 43.
So I know Silverado
R02 yeah.
was built in Mexico.
Oh,
so
interesting.
That is not considered an American index.
So Wrangler is 44. It's in Toledo. Ram 1500, here we go, 45.
Oh.
Sterling Heights.
Yeah. Well, that's in Michigan.
Is every Silverado built in Mexico?
I don't want to say that for very certain, because I know they have several plants.
Okay.
I think the bulk of it is built in Mexico. Ram has plants in Michigan and also some in Mexico.
So the big guys, the big GM SUVs, right, are built in Texas.
Yeah, Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
So here you go. Yukon is 49. Suburban is 60. Arlington. A lot of Cadillacs in here. Traverse is built in Lansing. Frontier. So, Frontier is 68.
Yeah. Oh, really? That low?
Yeah. That's built in...
It's in Smyrna?
Canton. Yeah. And then I'm looking for... that's interesting. Ram 1500 Classic is 82. That's in Warren.
Yes.
Here we go. So you're right. Okay. So at the very bottom of this list, we have the Silverado 1500 and the GMC 1500 mm-hmm. at 93 and 94. Now those two are classified as being produced in Roanoke, but there's a little star next to them that says vehicles that come from one or more assembly plants outside the U.S.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if they have multiple.
Multiple facilities, and at least our truck was built in Mexico.
Doesn't Ram have multiple? Do they have a?
Yeah, the heavy duty trucks come from Mexico.
Oh,
in Ram, in the Ram.
So when they report sales on those trucks, do they report the light duty and the heavy duty together?
Yeah, mostly. You know, who the only manufacturer that splits them out is GM. So GM reports heavy duty Silverados and light duty separately.
Yep.
Ford lumps them all together.
As F-Series.
And then Ram lumps them all together. So it's hard to know exactly, unless you look at more detailed data, how the heavy-duty trucks are actually, who's winning that battle.
Broken down. Very interesting. Okay. I learned a lot here. You know, the other interesting thing is there's been a lot of startups, too, which are starting in the U.S., like Lucid, right?
Yes.
They're based in Arizona,
uh-huh.
Or manufactured in Arizona. Rivian,
Normal, Illinois,
which was an old Mitsubishi plant,
yes.
right? And
yes.
then Bollinger, which kind of disappeared.
Michigan. Yeah, they kind of disappeared. So they discontinued their B1 and B2 electric trucks, and they're focused on commercial chassis, electrified commercial chassis. So I mean, bigger vehicles.
Okay.
So like, think about delivery vans, like big step vans. I saw them at the work truck show. I saw Robert Bollinger there.
Nice.
So they're still kind of excited, but it's kind of sad that the trucks were discontinued.
Yeah, because that was the one that like you and I could have bought maybe.
Well, right? They were still $120,000.
Oh well, certainly not me then. I wasn't gonna buy that.
Okay.
So.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, but there's several other companies, you know, that are starting up.
Who am I
missing? Even Atlas is still kind of
hanging on
out there. Nikola is semi trucks.
Are they still in?
Yeah. So forget about their pickup truck debacle and their CEO who was not truthful.
yep.
But their semi trucks are still around, and they're still developing them and starting to produce them.
What about that workhorse?
Yeah, Lordstown.
Lordstown.
Yes, that's also in the United States.
Yeah,
and they've just recently, they're not doing well financially.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Interesting.
So yeah, so I am surprised that Tesla is at the top of this list, but I'm happy. I mean, it is an American-made vehicle, and I know they have plants all over the world now in China, in Germany, and but I am pretty happy.
Very cool.
You?
Yeah, I think it's cool that, I mean, it still is a hub of, American manufacturing. I mean, if you go back to like the 50s, right, everything for the most part would have been made here. And there were little plants across the country and all over the world. But there are still like a lot of these plants from the 50s and 60s are still operating. Like, for example, and I think I'm right in saying this, like the Jeep Wrangler, right, has its roots from World War II, from Willys Overland,
right,
which was based in Toledo, Ohio. And that's where they're building Wranglers.
And Belvedere
today.
Plant is, you know, it's been updated, but it's still there, right?
Yep.
Also, I think what's cool is there are new plants being built in other states, like VW's in Chattanooga, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Then in Tennessee, Ford is making investments there. Rivian is moving into similar like areas.
Yeah, there's a lot of them we didn't talk about. Like Civic is built in Greensburg.
Yeah, and the Mercedes is built
Spartanburg
in Alabama, correct?
South Carolina.
No. Yes. Yep. Sorry.
Smyrna, Tennessee.
BMW is of course built in South Carolina, North Carolina.
Volvo actually has a plant in Ridgeville, South Carolina.
Yes.
Toyota Highlander is built in Princeton, Indiana. Yeah. Nissan Frontier is Canton.
How come we're not building in Colorado?
Well, there's a whole... You could probably get into the politics behind that. There's a whole discussion about why that is, Andre. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we should
start.
I know there's a lot of high-tech companies in Colorado.
There are a lot of high-tech. And a lot of sandwich shops.
Yes, and a lot of liquor stores.
Yes, but a lot of famous sandwich shops were started in Colorado.
Beer stores.
Did you know Quiznos was started in Colorado?
No way. What about Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's?
No, not here, is it?
Here. It's a good list, actually.
Next time on TFL Cars podcast,
yes,
we'll be discussing most American sandwich shops.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Snarfs? That's probably a Colorado thing only.
Yeah.
Quiznos. Quiznos, I think, is dead, isn't it?
No, they're around.
No. Quiznos? Didn't they go out of business? Quiznos?
Well, I haven't had a Quiznos in a while. But I'm pretty sure. I think they're
around.
This
is the investigative journalism you've come here to discuss. Quiznos. Let's see. It is the restaurant. Oh, maybe there still is Quiznos.
Yeah.
Really?
What about Jimmy John?
There's not a lot of them left, Andre.
Okay.
176 in Colorado.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Chipotle. Have you ever been to Chipotle?
Of course.
It's a burrito restaurant.
Yes.
Qdoba. Also
a burrito restaurant. Well, restaurant is kind of a steep description.
Well, is it?
Okay.
We have a place called Tokyo Joe's, which has been really popular.
Yeah.
Mad Greens, another place. Lots of good places started here in good old-fashioned Denver, CO. Smashburger. Have you ever been to Smashburger?
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, for sure.
So
all right,
there you have it.
We have
a really powerful sandwich industry here, but not so much for automotive manufacturing.
Absolutely, yes. Well, let us know what you guys think.
Oh, you know Colorado was famous for?
What, weed?
No, yes. No. Trailer manufacturing.
What does that mean?
That means Colorado Teardrops. That means Boreas Campers. That means any number of other camper manufacturers. I think we have really strong outdoors community here as well.
Rooftop tents, too. We got a lot of rooftop tents.
Roof Nest.
Yep.
Is local.
Carabiners.
Yes.
Nailed it in carabiners. hemp hoodies. Kale smoothies. All of it. We got it all, baby. That's right, Andre.
I think on this note, we need to...
Wrap it up. All right, we'll wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of TFL Talking Cars. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.